I would ask that you'd offer up a prayer on his behalf as he brings us the message this evening, our brother, Pastor Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Adam. Okay, sounds good. Thank you. As that warms up, I'd just like to greet each and every one of you this evening, and thank you for coming. All those that are live streaming, welcome. Hopefully our sister Pat is out there as well. We're praying for you, Pat. And I am feeling my heart beat tremendously at this point right here, and I think it's a good thing. I feel alive in the Lord, and I really have taken some time over the last couple weeks to be able to think and put this sermon together, and it's because with all the changes that have been happening in my life as far as my walk in the Lord and the Lord leading the path in which we go, and where I've been and where I'm going, it's I find contentment in that. And you know, I stood up last Sunday, I believe it was last Sunday, and I had a testimony to give of, you know, all the crazy things that are going on in my life and how things have changed tremendously. And you know, I couldn't remember the song that I wanted to sing that opening song service, but I thought about it tonight. And I found it. It was Give Your Best to the Master. And that song's been on my heart all week. And I really like it and I enjoy it. And that's truly where I've been at mentally in this day in which we live and where the Lord has brought me. And nevertheless, it's something that I find interesting because prior to being called to be the pastor of this local, things were kind of, you know, hit and miss here and there. I was trying to do things and accomplish things, and really didn't have my mind focused on the path in which I was walking. You know, I was focused, but not as focused as I am now, and as focused as I am on the congregation and each and every one of you, and the things that I'm doing and how I'm trying to be an example for each and every one of you. And I find that challenging, and I find it rewarding at the same time. And I really appreciate how the Lord works with us and gives us the abilities and the capabilities that before never have I thought that I would have. And it's truly all the glory and all the honor goes to Him for that. And I am thankful for that, and I stood up and I testified that last week, and again, I'll testify it again and again, over and over, to let people know how the Lord can really bring you peace, comfort, contentment in your life. And it seemed like there was so much at the beginning of this walk, but as I'm walking in it and the Lord is there with me, how that just really comes together, and it's not as difficult as it seemed. I know life can be difficult, but the Lord really lightens our burdens a lot of times, and I don't think that we actually realize that until we bear those burdens and that we know and that we call upon Him because we know He's there to help us through it. And so, you know, I titled my sermon, Invest in the Lord. I thought it was appropriate for a few of the slides that I have here tonight. And, you know, I was telling our brother Dwayne at our meeting that it seems like I'm doing something every single day now. Every single day I do something for the Lord, think about something, always active in something for the Lord. And I would pray that each and every one of you would think about those things too, and that your walk in the Lord would not be vain, as the song was sung. I really appreciated that song. That was beautiful. And more things are touching my heart, and the Lord is giving me a better understanding of a lot of things and how to deal with a lot of things. And it's interesting because in my natural human characteristics, normally I wouldn't deal with things as the Lord had intended because of my own personality, my own characteristics, and my own human ways and my own self nature. So, you know, it's a humbling experience, and it's really neat, and it's such a blessing because, you know, everything that we have, you know, it's because of the Lord. And when we really see that and we give back to the Lord, how much richer that becomes our relationships with our brothers and sisters, our ability to be able to go places and do things and speak to people and lift people up in ways that we never thought we could before. You know, I actually had an opportunity to go and visit Pat a couple times, and you know, it wasn't even a second thought. It was just something I wanted to do. I had a desire to do. And I think the Lord works with our hearts to give us that understanding, give us the ability to have that desire. And when our hearts are in the right place, it just becomes joyful. It becomes joyful to visit a brother or a sister and to spend time with them. And so I wanted to start off, and I wanted to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I just wanted to read a few things here, verses 6 through 10. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth him in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." You know, and as a pastor, I find myself investing time more and more in my efforts. And, you know, I see how he provides me the means to make things and to accomplish things and to make things work. And one of the things that I see with that is how much time and effort that I have to direct towards him. How much time and effort I have to put into it, because that's the essential part, is that when we're wanting the Lord in our lives, we're wanting things to go a certain way, it is so important to take that time and effort and to dedicate that to the Lord and how he rewards us with that. You know, it's such a fruitful thing for us to be able to see that the time that we give is not only important to us, but it's important to him as well. Each one of us know that through him, we can do so much. And he says here, "And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And I look at that and I see, like, our work party out here that we just had the other day. A lot of us are still feeling pretty sore from that. It was a lot of hard work. And, you know, one of the things I wanted our sister Michelle to take a before and after picture. I was like, "Oh, did you get a before picture of this? Because, boy, you know, we were kind of coming towards the end there, and it just so looks so nice to me." And I wanted to compare the two and bring it here for you, but it didn't happen. But it's okay, because we know that all of us that do things and are observant, that we see the rewards of that. And in all things, we see the rewards of our effort and the time that we put into that effort. You know, a lot of us go to school and get an education to be able to do things. I educated myself in how to become a mechanic. You know, it took 2 years of dedication, really, to see Logan in his first couple years was far and few for me, because I was either at school or at home sleeping or at work providing for the family. You know, we see the rewards of that, though. I look back and that hard work paid off. It's going to pay off in dividends. Many of us, doctors, nurses, you know, electricians, firefighters, all of us dedicate time to really being involved in what we want to learn, and we get rewards out of that. And so much more is that just in direct correlation with the Lord in our lives, and how when we give ourselves in that time and our effort to him, how that is so rewarding to us, and how he'll invest in us as well. He'll make us valuable and more valuable, to where, you know, we're starting to do things that we didn't think that we would ever do before. And so, you know, whether it's our hobby, whether it's our work or education or whatever it is we do, you know, it's important that when we're working for the Lord, we give that same kind of dedication, that same passion, that same desire as when we're doing those things. You know, I love mountain biking tremendously. When I first got my most recent mountain bike, I was on the internet and I was doing all the research that there ever was to be able to understand what was the best bike, what was its capabilities, how much of a difference the wheel size would make, how much a difference the full suspension would make, and all those little intricacies that go along with it, a regular brake system compared to a hydraulic brake system. You know, all these differences, and I really invested a lot of time in there, and I got the best bang for my buck. And, you know, that's important that we look at the time that we have and we see how we're investing it and try to get the best bang for your buck. And the more time that you invest in the Lord, in His work, in His gospel, you are going to get such a return on that investment that you'll just see an abundance of rewards that come with that. It's almost like I'm trying to sell you guys some kind of insurance or something, huh? But the next slide is that it's a return on investment. And I have a couple of examples here. You know, we see this. I know that Jesse could probably relate to this. He was showing me some pictures of a new ride that he picked up. But this is a 57 Chevy. And, you know, this vehicle, people search after these type of vehicles. These are highly valuable vehicles. And even in this condition that this vehicle is in is completely, some people would consider it junk. But other people would look at that and say, that's a very valuable thing. And I will turn that into something. You know, it's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, a lot of time to be able to get that thing where it needs to be. But, you know, in due time, you know, it could turn out to something like that. And I have the same path as far as doing this kind of a project in my life. When I was younger, I was 20 years old. I bought a 1964 Volkswagen Beetle for $170, $175. Didn't have any doors on it. It was just the shell. It was completely rusted out in the floor. And in 2 years, it consumed me, more or less. Sister Karen saw that vehicle quite a bit, so did Kenny. And I loved that car. That car was awesome. And I poured my heart and my soul into that car. And I did everything that you could do to a Volkswagen Beetle that would make it cool. And, you know, it was really neat because at that time, that was my life and my passion. I didn't have the Lord in my life. And I put everything into it, you know, the paint job, the interior, the bodywork, the engine, every piece of that vehicle from front to back had every inch little piece of my attention, all the details in it. And over 2 years, it got where I wanted it. And, you know, it was fun. It was fun while it lasted. You know, did it last forever? No, it didn't. Where's the car now? Well, I don't know. Because after about, I don't know, I had it for 4 years total, 2 more years after that. You know, after racing it around and spending more and more money in it, and that being my life, Bill actually had a Christmas party at Rustler's Roost and downtown at South Mountain. I'll never forget that because on my way home that night, after enjoying a nice meal with our company there that I worked for, Avanti, I was driving it down the freeway, I-17 headed north. That's when I-17 still had bougainvilleas as a divider in the road. And it was probably 11 o'clock at night, and there was a car that wanted to accelerate next to me. And so I took upon myself the challenge of what the other car was doing. And sure enough, as I began to accelerate, there was a loud bang and clacking coming from the engine compartment. And that was the end of it. And pretty much after that, I looked at myself and I looked at all the money I put into this object. And I said, you know, this really isn't worth it to me anymore. This car is just going to consume me. It's going to keep draining my wallet. It's going to take everything I got to put back into it. And I can tell you all the money I put into it, but it's at this time irrelevant. And, you know, if I would have taken the time, or for now for that matter, you know, when we take the time, when we put that kind of time and effort into the Lord, you know, and give Him that, you know, we're always going to have something given back that's always going to be there and that nobody can take away. And the only time that it can go away is if we decide to walk away from it. And, you know, we all know better than that as Christians. And we know that the Lord is with us and is among us. And I see that. And, you know, to have a hobby or something, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good example for us to be able to start and finish something, to learn in life that with those type of things, there comes responsibility, there comes dedication, and there comes commitment, and there comes reward. And the same thing with the Lord. The Lord tries to show us that all the time, that with those things that there is a reward. And so with that, I'm going to go to the next slide. Proverbs chapter 3, what should we do? We should honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And I looked up that word honor. It's to esteem and to show respect and to show recognition and admiration towards someone. And there's none other that deserves that more than our Lord and Savior. You know, for those things that we invest in, this is crucial to our spiritual walk. Those things that we invest in spiritually, understanding that when we give to the Lord, He gives back. I'm not doing a sermon on tithing, but all of us have those experiences in our lives to where, you know, we stand and we glorify the Lord for difficult times, for those situations where, you know, we don't know how we're going to make things work and how we're going to make ends meet, but the Lord takes care of His children. And when we do have the opportunity to honor Him with our substance, with our time, with our efforts, you know, how much rewarding is that when He tells us and He shows us that our presses shall burst out with new wine? He's going to give us all those things that we never thought we could have before, and that contentment in life to know that, you know, with the responsibilities that the Lord gives us, that's the reward. And how rewarding that is. The joy that we feel when we are completely dedicated to the Lord and giving Him all of our time, when we're putting all on the altar. But there's a other side to that coin, isn't there? In 3 Nephi chapter 11, it says here, "Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it." And you know, right there, the Lord is saying, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." You know, some of those slides earlier where we saw the old rusted out car that completely seems unworthy. You know, sometimes we can actually have that situation going on in our own lives. You know, that we feel that we're completely unworthy, that we're of no value, that you know, there's too much work that needs to be done to fix these problems that I have, so I'm just going to give up. You know, but the Lord says here, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." And that word "prove," you know, "and prove me now herewith." That word "prove" is to demonstrate the truth or existence of something by evidence or argument. You know, are we proving to ourselves that the Lord is there, that He's with us in our lives, that He's walking with us? My brother and I, we do a class at the camp for the teenagers and the youth camp. And, you know, there's a lot of demonstrations that we do that, you know, there's things going on in our life every day that we can't see. You know, it's not right in front of us. It's not blatant. But it's happening. You know, we talk about gravity. We talk about static electricity. We talk about magnetism. We talk about vacuum. Those types of things, you know. Those things are occurring every single day on this planet. We can't see it, but the Lord put it there. And the Lord put it there for a reason. And he put us here for a reason. And we have to prove to him that we are worthy, that we are willing, that we are able, and that we're capable of staying committed to him and walking in that path and understanding his doctrine and understanding his will in our lives and taking the most of what we have, or taking what we have and making the most of it. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we have absolutely nothing. We can still give. And, you know, the Lord knows that. He knows what we have. He knows our possessions. He knows our temporal status. He knows how we're doing in our lives and what we're capable of doing. You know, he says, try the reins. And I'm going to give a good example of somebody that didn't have much and is doing something here. And it's in Matthew chapter 12. I don't have it up on the PowerPoint. I'm going to read a few verses there, though. I'm going to start in verse 38. And he said unto them, his disciples, in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, which is next to nothing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And we need to look at that in our lives. You know, how much are we casting into the Lord's treasury? You know, are we putting everything in there that we can? Are we holding back on that because we have certain things that we want to accomplish and things that we want to do, and we're putting the Lord kind of behind on the back burner and not thinking of, you know, what it is in his will in our lives that we need to accomplish, and how important that is to think about that and to know that we do have the blessings, the capabilities, the understanding of knowing that the Lord is working with us and to be able to accomplish things for him. And I don't know what it is for each and every one of you. The Lord hasn't given me that knowledge. I wish I did, because I would hit you all up on it. But we know that in our hearts that the Lord is working with us in some sort of way. And it's important to make sure that we're figuring out, you know, what we can do in that fashion, in those responsibilities that the Lord has given us, to make the most of it, to give to him what he so richly deserves, and that we're honoring him in those things. Okay, I gotta go here. There we go. Okay. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know, we see here a lot of money signs in the background there, because I think that, you know, all of us at some time or another in our lives, you know, really go after the money. There was many days in my life that money was first and foremost, and that's all I wanted to do was keep it coming in as much as possible. And I brought that example of my old Volkswagen because that was a money pit. And so many more things could have been done with that money that would have profited so many other people and the Lord and his work. But it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And I know that money, you know, it's a driving force in this nation in which we live. And it's very tempting to fall into this path here. But one of the things I really thought about with this few verses here is that these are some things that money can't buy. In the last verse, verse 11, is money can't buy godliness. Money can't buy faith. It can't buy patience. It can't buy meekness. These are all things that the Lord gives you. These are all things and traits of the Lord and His Son, Jesus Christ, that came and has shown to us that these are the treasures that you need to be seeking for. These are the riches that He's talking about. And, you know, a lot of us in our lives, go through times to where money is good. You know, before I had a wife and four kids, money was good. It was real good. And that changed. And responsibilities changed. And, you know, with that, do I miss it? Not really. Now, you know, instead of going out to eat all the time, boy, we used to eat out a lot. And now my wife, she cooks better than the restaurants we go to. I actually have buyer's remorse when I go to restaurants now because the quality of the food is nowhere near my wife's cooking. Boy, I just earned a lot of points right there. But I'm serious about that. And it's interesting because, you know, we look back and we laugh because, you know, boy, if we just would have focused on what we could have done with that money and been more frugal with it, boy, we'd be, you know, so much better off right now and have so many other things that are more important for what is important in this life to be able to establish. You know, they say build the nest, and we could have did very well. And, you know, then life changes. And, you know, we're in a different position now, and the Lord still blesses us. We're still capable of, you know, having a house and having cars and, you know, being able to support kids and do all those things. And it's still such a blessing to know that, you know, I'll be honest with each and every one of you, I don't even worry about my paycheck anymore. I just go to this place called work, and it keeps a roof over our head and cars on the road. And, you know, money is no longer an object to me. It's not a thing. But when I was a lot younger, that was very important to us. And we did, you know, did have those desires to buy things and to keep up with the Joneses. But now the focus is on the Lord and what's precious and what's valuable to Him. And it's really something to see how that can change a person. And I'm going to read a quick verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. It says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." And a lot of us have known that going through the Dave Ramsey course and learning how to understand our finances and to no longer be in debt. And that's one of the things is, you know, when you start traveling down these roads and seeing that there is a lot that this world has to offer and is very desirous, very quickly could we find ourselves in debt. You know, very quickly could we find ourselves in financial trouble. And I believe that's a snare. I believe that's a snare of the adversary that he gets us in, because once you get into debt, we know that that could cause a lot of stress, a lot of difficulties. It could cause fighting and arguments within the household, you know, and we need to understand where our priorities are at. You know, what's important to us? What's important to the Lord? And how are we being fruitful for Him? You know, a lot of these things that come with money is, we're actually learning this in our Sunday school, is we learned about pride and the seven deadly sins, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and slothfulness. You know, a lot of people that have these riches in their life, they fall into these temptations, these paths of destruction in their life. And we see it happen all the time, all different ages. You know, winning the lottery, becoming a teen idol, these type of things are very destructive for people when they have an abundance of money and no focus on what they're doing in their life and how the Lord can help you be able to overcome that. So one of those things I wanted to show you, and I think Brother Dwayne had this picture up a while ago, and I found it on the internet, and I thought this was very amusing. And it's in 1 Timothy 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for he brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." And, you know, you see in the picture, it's a hearse pulling a U-Haul, which really probably doesn't make too much sense. But, you know, the Lord brought us into this world, and the Lord will bring us home. And with that, we can't take any of these worldly possessions that we have in this place, but we could take a lot of those rich rewards that we were given because of the things that we've done in this place. And that word contentment here, you know, that's what I was speaking about when we first opened up, how I feel this contentment in this role, in this work of the gospel. And that word contentment means in a state of peaceful happiness, a state of satisfaction. And, you know, with contentment, you know, there comes responsibilities and there comes all kinds of different changes that have to be made on a day-to-day basis, which can lead to frustrations. But nevertheless, you know, I was bouncing all over the place last week trying to get things sorted out with the schedule and the ministry. And, you know, it's funny how that song, give your best of the master. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. And all these things just started falling into place. And I had this peacefulness over me. And, you know, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. A lot of people see that here. And, you know, it's reassuring to know that the Lord watches over his children and that we could be in a place like this. Even if we're at that point to where we feel that we have no value and that there's too much work that needs to be done within our own lives, you know, give it to the Lord and he's going to fix it up. He's going to make it look like new and he's going to bring you to a place where it's peaceful, it's happy, it's running smooth. That car, you know, I think about that and how much work it takes to put into something like that and how the Lord is willing to put that work into each and every one of us in our lives. And I have a quote here, and it's from Winston Churchill. It's a quote from him where it says, before that, I'm going to read that. You know, I wanted everybody to remember that even if we have nothing, we have the Lord, and the Lord is always there for us. And, you know, if we're in a position where we're always unsatisfied with the way things are going, if we're always discontent, think about that and think about what you need to do. Think about those changes you need to make. Look at life from a different perspective. Look at the way at life that the Lord teaches us to, how we're not looking at ourselves, but we're looking towards others and to serve others and to give our time and our hearts to him. And so that quote from Winston Churchill, I really like this because I'm very optimistic and that's how I am. It says, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. And an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." And I look at that quote and I think about that. You know, from a Christian perspective, you know, what side of that quote am I on? And, you know, is far down in the dumps that we could be at time. Look at the at the difficulty and see the opportunity in that. Okay. So now it worked. Okay, good. Matthew chapter 6. You know, and this is what the Lord is telling us. And I remember our sister Rebecca's testimony a couple Wednesdays ago. You know, really, it was a very good testimony. And Rebecca, I was actually going to ask you to stand up and say it again, but I'm not going to do that. But, you know, through all the difficulties that we have, you know, it was a very touching testimony. And I think that, you know, you brought up these scriptures here. Am I correct? Was it along these lines? It was along these lines. And this is the scripture I wanted to read. It was Matthew 6, 30 through 33. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, you know, when I look at this and I see this and I understand this, that no matter what, the Lord is going to take care of us. He's going to be there for us. He's going to be able to give us those things that we're going to need to survive. And how that really plays in part, you know, in this temporal world. You know, I look at our spiritual walks and the strength that we gain from the Lord, and how that has a direct effect on our outlook in the day in which we live, daily, day-to-day grind, daily activities. You know, are we optimistic? Are we pessimistic? You know, are we letting the adversary get the best of us? Are we knowing that we're of value to the Lord in applying those things? You know, these things, the Lord takes care of us through our highs and our lows. You know, you look at the stock market and what it does. It goes up and down, up and down. You know, we have with the city of retirement, and every once in a while I go in there, yeah, it's up. You know, where's it going to be at 10 years from now? Well, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. What I'm going to worry about is what is important to the Lord. You know, the Lord's going to take care of me. Someday when I'm 85 years old, you know, my kids will have the opportunity to have dad probably and mom come back at home and to give them all the thunder that they give us every day. But, you know, in ways the Lord works like that. You know, we take care of each other. We lift each other up, whether it's temporally or spiritually. You know, the Lord gives us all these ordinances, all these commandments, these things that we have to keep the body of Christ strong and healthy, and to continue on in their faith, and to continue on even though, you know, the burdens are feeling heavy, and the Lord gives us that ability to come to Him to make those burdens light. So think about those things. Ponder on those things. Don't put ourselves first. Don't put the Lord on the back burner. Don't make Him second in your life. Make Him first, and you'll see those changes. So in Jacob 2, it says in a couple verses here, think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. You know, those are those treasures that the Lord wants us to seek for. You know, that godliness, that meekness, charity. Have charity in your lives. Think about the time that you have and how you can give. And in Matthew chapter 6, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Like that old 57 Chevy, you know, that's going to be gone. My totally cool, awesome 1964 Volkswagen with 1641 old racing heads and dual Delorto carburetors and an angle 110 racing cam and the Stinger exhaust pipe with a scat quick shift 4-speed. You know all those things. It just was ingrained to me because that's where my heart was. But now, you know, have charity. Have godliness, have meekness in your life. Be humble before the Lord. You know, have those things imprinted in your mind and in your heart to be able to share with one another. That's where the treasures are now. I could tell you more. It was a pearl white paint job. It was lowered. I could tell you the tire sizes to this day. Anyway, Gary's getting crazy. In verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that was my point. You know, my heart was in that car. It had everything that, all my attention, everything that I had, I put it into that car. And, you know, what I'm trying to say, and my point is, put everything you have into the Lord. And He's going to take so much good care of you. He's going to be showing you things, richness and treasures in your life. He's going to give you things that money can't buy. And I want to read in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, so to each and every one of you, I would pray that you would just ponder on these things. I know that life has a lot of things and a lot of challenges out there, and there's a lot of opportunities for us to be tempted with the things that the world offers, but the Lord offers so much more than that that we can't take when we leave this place. Those are things that won't rust, that won't be corrupted. So keep those things close to your heart, ponder on those things, and let that be something that you could take from this service tonight. So I thank you for your time, and God bless each and every one of you and those that are live streaming.